I think I've got it. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, again, this verse gives us a great and precious promise that we discussed on Sunday. But it is because of that foreordination, that foreknowledge of our Lord, that Paul will go on to explain here, verses 29 and 30, in regards to God's work for us from eternity past. Because of that foreknowledge and the work that comes through that foreknowledge of the Lord there, he says that this promise applies to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And this evening I want us to consider the called here. Because of this foreknowledge, there is a calling. Now that calling is a calling to salvation. It is a calling to the Lord Jesus. And as He is giving us account here, and it is because of that calling, when He calls us to Himself, when He calls us according to His purpose, it is by that calling that we now have a love for our Father. That now we understand that love for Him as He has given us, put it in our hearts. Now, because of this calling, there is a great deal of confusion in Christianity today. In John chapter 6, our Lord speaks of this calling. And that's what I want us to look at tonight for just a short while. He speaks of this calling here. And so because of this knowledge, this foreknowledge of our Lord, there is a time, because of that choosing unto Himself, because of that election of His people, there is a time when He makes that known to us, when this calling takes place. And now that is something that is in time. Okay? The election is outside of time. It's from eternity past. The foreknowledge of God is from eternity past. It's outside of time. It's something that has always been with our Father. But the calling that He's speaking of here in Romans 8:28 and what our Lord describes for us here in John chapter 6, that's something that happens in time. When He brings that understanding of grace, of salvation to us, it's still that calling, and understand why there is so much confusion about this, is there are many that struggle under this idea, and it's what I struggled under, and I'm sure all of us that come to the understanding by the grace of God, by the Spirit, of the doctrines of grace, all of us have struggled under that reality of the total giving up of self and recognizing that it is all of God that our salvation is. And it's nothing on anything that we have done. And the fact that we have not done anything for that grace and for that salvation is where it's a struggle for us to be able to wrap our minds around. Because of that, there are many today, their faith, their hope, their looking forward to eternity is based wholly upon what they have done to answer this call. What our Lord describes for us here is that it's not based upon anything that we have done, but it is all of what God has already accomplished, what He has already done for us, that this grace is extended to you and I. Now, Jesus tells here of His mission in John chapter 6 and His purpose on earth. He came to save sinners, to be Savior for the lost. And yet we find in verse 37, he says, "All that the Father giveth me." He's describing himself as the living bread here, is what he's describing. And he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now, before we go any further, there are folks today that read verse 37 and see two groups of people. Those that the Father's given and those that come. There's only one group of people. There's only one group. Okay? This is what the Lord is describing here for us. This is not describing two groups. He's describing one group. And because that one group is given him by the Father, they are the ones that come. They are the ones that respond to that call. So there's only one group that he is in reference to here. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Our Lord is describing here that he is the bread of life. He is describing that he is the Savior of the lost. That he is to come, that he has come rather to seek and to save them which are lost. And those that he is seeking is a specific group, he says in verse number 37, that the Father has given him. All that the Father hath given me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It was a specific people that he came for. He came, as he describes very eloquently in John chapter 10, he came for his sheep. He came for his sheep. Those whom Paul described to us there in Romans chapter 8 that were foreknown of God. Those that were foreknown of him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, as he is describing this, we see there is a future tense in this, but the fact that they shall come to him, but the word giveth is present tense. All that the Father giveth me. So it implies here that there are not only those salvations that have taken place in the past, but being present tense, it's those that are the Lord speaking of there in that time, and then that future that he says shall come to me, that implies there's more salvations to take place. That as long as his people are out there, he's going to call them to himself. And so he is describing here that this calling that is going forth, all that the Father giveth him, will come to him, and they are going to come to him when that is made manifest to their hearts. When their spirits are made living spirits again. When he puts the Spirit of God in them and gives them life, that is making manifest the fact that they are those that the Father has given to the Son. Now, again, we were talking about Sunday morning. We don't recognize that when the Lord saves us. That's when the Lord saved me, the last thing that it would ever enter my mind. In fact, it didn't enter my mind until several years later. I'm elect. No, that different. And all this, when he saved me, all I knew was I'm saved. God in his grace has saved me. That's all I knew. I didn't know all the workings of that grace. But in the working of that salvation, as it is brought to the individual, it is making manifest. This is one that the Lord had come for. This is one that he had given himself for. This is one that the Father had given him. This is one that he has foreknown from eternity past. And so this reality here that it is a specific group of people that our Lord has come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now he is not speaking of all of mankind. For we have seen clearly throughout history, we see clearly in our own day, not everybody comes. Jesus said, all that the Father gives him will come. That's what he declares. They shall, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So it's not for, it's not everyone, it's not all of mankind. And that's part of the problem in evangelism today, is there are so many that are going around declaring Jesus loves you, and I pray that he does, but he doesn't love everybody. He loves his people. That's what he's declared. He loves his people. Now everyone sits under, whether they are elect or not, we don't know, and there's no possible way for us to know. Like what Charles Spurgeon said in regards to that, he said if God put a big yellow stripe on everybody's back that was elect, we'd go around lifting up coattails and see who had the yellow stripe, you know. But that's not the case. He didn't do that. We don't know that. So his command to us is then, preach it to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're to do. We're not to try to pick and choose. Now here's what we do though. And we have to watch ourselves. Because we can go, we can very easily judge the individual that we have approached with the gospel. Or even before we approach them with the gospel, we've already judged that one. Well, I could tell them, but they wouldn't listen to me. Look how they're dressed. Look at the people they're associated with. Look at the situations that's going on in their life. I could tell them, but they wouldn't listen. And we try to make determinations. Man, he's not elect. Or he's not elect right now. Maybe he's straightened up. Maybe then he'll listen. We're preaching to every creature. Every creature. And all that the Father giveth to the Son shall come to me, he says. Shall come to me. And so we are to declare it to all that those that he has been given will hear and will receive that call and will come to the Lord. So this all that he describes here in verse number 37 includes all the elect, all that have been chosen unto salvation. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him. According as he hath chosen us in him or in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, that's something we cannot work for ourselves. That's something we cannot achieve under our own power. We don't have the righteousness to make us holy and without blame before our Father. That has to be given us by the Son. And so he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that he might make us holy and without blame. That he might make us justified, that we can say with Paul in Romans 8 verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's accomplished by the working of our Lord. Having predestinated us, he says in verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted. That word accepted there is the word grace. So to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us graced in the beloved. This is all the work of our Father from eternity past. These were given unto the Son as his sheep, as his seed, his portion, his inheritance, and they would receive from him everlasting salvation. All that the Father shall give to me, or all that the Father giveth me rather, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So all that is given him, he said, will come to me. And he that comes to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. And not only will I not cast them out, I'm not going to lose any of them. Not going to lose any of them. There's a great many people today that struggle with the reality of sin in their lives. They struggle with the old man and the new man and what the Scripture says in regards to that. And they think that because they failed here, they think because they've allowed a sin here that they've lost their salvation and have to go and be re-saved. Well, you cannot lose that which God has given to you. You don't have the power to lose that. It took the power of the Creator to give it to you. You don't have the power to lose it. So, if you have lost your salvation, that means either you're confused and mistaught, or you didn't have it to begin with. And that's generally the case. I know of, and I'm pretty friendly with him. He's a Pentecostal preacher, and I've talked with him many times on this subject. And the last time that we brought this up, it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, that we had this conversation, but he told me that at that time he had been saved 3 different times. And I told him, I said, well, I hope the last one took. Because you didn't lose it. If you had it, you didn't lose it. But that was his, and of course we would go back and forth and it would quickly turn into a debate, and so most times it was better just to walk away at that time, because he'd get pretty hot whenever we got to. And of course I do too. I get debate and I get hot too. So but for the sake of both of us, it was better for us to not. Let's talk about it another day. Jesus says here, I lose nothing. I lose nothing. All that he gives me, I'll raise it up at the last day. He's not going to lose any of his sheep. So much so that he said he would leave the 99 in the fold and go out and find the one that's lost. He's not going to lose any of them. All that the Father gives to him will come to him, and he will not miss one. All of them are going to be redeemed. Every last one will have that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. It will be made known to them when he draws them unto himself. He says, and this is, verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All that has been given him will come to him. Jesus also declared that we do not come except we are first called to come. Notice verse 65. John 6, verse 65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." Now all that the Father's given him will come to him. And he that comes to him, he said, I will in no wise cast out. But you can't come, he says, unless it's given to you of the Father to come. In other words, he is going to call you. He is going to call you to himself. And sometimes he may do that over a period of time as he makes known unto us the reality of who he is and the reality of who we are. As he reveals unto us our sin, as he reveals unto us our depravity and our need for a Savior, and then drawing us to himself in a slow process. For me, it was a year and a half that he did that. And I was miserable for that year and a half. Absolutely miserable. As he was drawing me to himself. And that's not a drawing that he's saying, boy, I hope he comes. Oh, I hope he'll believe. Oh, I hope he sees this. I hope he understands. No, that's not what he's doing. He's drawing with intentionality. He's going to work what he's going to work. He's going to complete, as Paul said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That good work begins when he shows you who you are before him. And he draws and brings us to him, that we at last see him as Lord and Savior. In that process of drawing us, there is the desire for him that grows in us. There is a love for his holiness, a love for his righteousness that grows in us. There is a reality that without him we are hopeless and lost and doomed to an eternity separated from him. That all of these things are being worked as he is going through that process of drawing. But it's all for the purpose of making us more like Christ as he draws us to himself. Our Lord doesn't force anybody to be saved. He draws us through that process so that the child of God comes running to him. The child of God comes running to him when they recognize who he is. Paul said he was running from him, and the Lord came to where he was at, and Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" He recognized right away it was the Lord. And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." He says, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, Paul." In other words, the whole time Paul was going through this process of bringing this persecution, the Spirit of God was crushing old Paul's heart, or Saul, who he's known at that time. Those pricks of the Spirit of God getting a hold of him. And he was running from that. I believe that most likely began at the stoning of Stephen. Paul was there. Saul was there. He's the one that authorized that. He witnessed that. And he heard the preaching of the gospel by Stephen there. God draws us to himself. Now, again, that process may be a long period of time. Sometimes it happens instantaneous. Sometimes you have those first folks, the first time they've ever heard the gospel. Amen! Yes! And the Lord saves them immediately. And it's them, oh my goodness, you don't know how I suffer. He says he draws us to himself. "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Every last one that has been given him will come to him, and they will come to him by the power, by the authority, by the direction of the Spirit of God. He says in John 10, in verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It says in verse 25, the same passage there, 25 to 26, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." We know without a doubt that those folks he was talking to were not his elect. He told them you're not. So he said, "You're not, because you did not believe me. As your mind," he said, "you'd believe me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That which the Father has given him will hear the call. And when they hear that call, they will come to him in repentance and faith and grace. Grace is what brings the called. Left to himself, man might try to peek in and out of curiosity. We see those folks on occasion. The Lord describes these different groups and Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the sower. There are those that sounds pretty good. We'll see what it's about. And out of curiosity, they may look into it. They may say they accept what you're saying. They may go through all the pageantry of Christianity, but it won't be too long. They'll fall by the wayside. You have others that will hear and sounds wonderful to them. It's exactly what they want, and it sounds like it's the answer to their particular problem. And when their problem doesn't go away, they fall away. For those that the Lord is given by the Father, those that are drawn to Him, called unto Him, they will come. They will come. And He will not lose them. They will not be lost again. They will come in repentance and faith. "Him that calleth to me," he says, "I will in no wise," or "him that cometh to me," rather, "I will in no wise cast out. All that hears and comes unto Christ will be readily received." Readily received. Those that hear and believe, they're readily received. You don't see them trying to figure out, I didn't do it, I know none of you did either. Well, am I the elect? Is that what I am? Is this making me elect now? We just come to me. He drew us to himself. He called us unto him, and we came. And he says, "Those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." That makes us, that reveals, it makes manifest that we are indeed those that were given to him by the Father. It shows that we are indeed the elect, but that's not what we understand in that moment. It's like the blind man. I don't know anything. All I know is I was blind and now I see. That's it. That's all I know. Did John 10, he says, verse number 28, in the giving and the calling and the receiving, they are eternally the Lord Jesus. They eternally belong to Him. I give unto them, verse 28, eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You will not undo. First of all, somebody that is born again, they don't want to undo it. But there is no undoing of the election of God. And so for the fact that there is no undoing of that election, there is no undoing of the knowledge that God has beforehand, that He is preordained, because there is no undoing of that knowledge, because there is no undoing of His election, there is no undoing of the grace that is poured out upon you. You are eternally God's. You are eternally Christ, because He paid the eternal price for you. He says again in John 6, notice in verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at Him because He had said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. That drawing is that calling of God, as He brings us to Christ Jesus, to see Him as Lord and Savior, as our eternal life. As a child of God, we are chosen, we are called, we are preserved eternally as His children. If He has done all this for us, why can't we serve Him faithfully? If He's done this for us, why can't we worship Him with joy overflowing in us? Why can't we be excited to tell our neighbors about the glorious grace of Christ Jesus? Again, we're not commissioned to preach to the elect. That's not what He told us to do. He said, preach to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Those that are given Him by the Father, they'll hear it. And they will come to Him. And when they come, He says, I will in no wise cast them out. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for the day. We thank You, Father, for Your great grace. Thank You for the opportunity again to be in Your house with Your people. We pray, Father, that You'd help us tonight, that Your word may take root in our hearts, that we might rejoice in the work, Father, that You've accomplished for us from eternity. Help us that we might honor You by our lives. Help us to be found a faithful people for You, Father. Help us that our goal, our heart's desire would always be to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Forgive us of our many sins and our shortcomings. Ever build us up in your strength and your direction for our lives, that we would be again found faithful before you. Bless those many on our prayer list. Be with each of those that are not able to be with us tonight. We pray your hand of mercy might be upon them. Go with us now as we enter into this time of monthly business, that you would help us, Father, in all things to glorify you, that we might do all things decently and in order before you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.